So this coming Shabbos is Parshas Tetzaveh, but in addition to Parshas Tetzaveh, it's one of the special weeks. We have the 4 weeks, we have a special reading. We started with Parshas Shkoim 2 weeks ago, and this coming Shabbos, we read Parshas Zachar, then we have Parshas Parah, then we have Parshas Achodesh. But Parshas Zachar, perhaps, is a mitzvah min HaTorah, that it's a biblical mitzvah to remember what Amalek did to us. And that's what we read at the end of Parashas Kisete. We read about what Amalek did. And in fact, as well, they point out that there's another mitzvah as well we're familiar with, and that's the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. There's a mitzvah of destroying Amalek. So, according to different opinions, different in the Rishonim and the commentators, whether is there any connection between these two mitzvahs, or are they two independent mitzvahs? There's one mitzvah to remember, there's another mitzvah to destroy, or are they listed under, you know, under one category? So that's a discussion among the Rishonim, whether the mitzvah of remembering and the mitzvah of destroying go hand in hand. For instance, in Parshas Kisetze, it talks explicitly about destroying Amalek. Timcha ezecher Amalek. You should blot out the memory of Amalek. And they discuss that even the men, women, children, everyone, you know, all the livestock. And in Parshas Beshalach, at the end of Parshas Beshalach also deals with Amalek. It says, Vayavol Amalek. Amalek attacked the Jews, and it also talks about Amalek. So, there's an interesting machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura. Let's say this coming Shabbos, someone can't make it to shul. They're sick, whatever the case may be, they're out of town, there's no shul, and they don't hear Parshas Zachar this Shabbos. So is there any way for them to make it up? So, and let's assume they're going to Shul Purim, they're going to hear the Megillah readings. They're going to be in Shul anyway, so is there any way of making it up? So the Magen Avraham writes, you could fulfill both mitzvahs at one time, don't worry about it. He says, if you go to Shul Purim morning, you can fulfill your mitzvah of reading the Megillah by hearing the Megillah, and by reading Vayavol Amalek, we read the Torah also on Purim about the parasha of Amalek. By hearing the parasha from Parashas Beshalach, you fulfill your mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. In fact, it's an interesting Trumas Hadeshin, one of the commentators the Ramah quotes all the time, Lahalacha. He says, what happens if a person has a choice to make? He's stuck in jail, and the warden's giving him 1 day in the month of Adar to get out. And he could choose this coming Shabbos Parashat Zachar, or he could choose Thursday, Purim, to hear the Megillah. Which one should he choose? So one would say at first glance, which one would you say? You would say you should go to Parashat Zachar, besides it being Shabbos, but Zachar is a mitzvah in our Torah. Zachar is a biblical mitzvah. Mm-hmm. And Megillah is only Drabbanim. Well, Megillah is, let's say, it's what they call a Divrei Kabbalah, the words of our prophets. It's in the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. It's not in the Chumash. So whatever status of Divrei Kabbalah is, it's still not on the same level. Even if you say it's a closer to a biblical, it's not the same as a biblical. So therefore, the Trumas Hadeshin says, if you have an option, you should go to Shul Shabbos Parashat Zachar and fulfill your mitzvah in our Torah. And even if it wasn't Shabbos, whenever they did Parashat Zachar, it's better to hear Parashat Zachar and fulfill a mitzvah in our Torah than hearing the Megillah, which is only we Divrei Kabbalah. That's what the Trumas Hadeshin says. So it comes along, the Magen Avraham says, you should choose Purim, because you don't have to choose then. Because if you come Purim, you get both mitzvahs. But when you read Vayavol Amalek, you get the It's a Chiras HaMalek. And when you read the Megillah, you get the mitzvah of Megillah reading. So therefore he writes that that's what the Magen Avraham says. And the Mishnah Berurah says, what are you talking about? You can't fulfill your mitzvah of Parashas Zachar with Purim morning with Parashas B'Shalach. You need Parashas Kiseitzeh. Because Kiseitzeh is much more as explicit. Timcha Zechra Molech, you shall destroy. By B'Shalach, it's not as clear, it's not as black and white. So the Mishnah Berurah does not like the Magen Avraham. And clearly the Trumas HaDeshen is working with the same logic as the Mishnah Berurah. That's why he says, if you only have a choice, what should you do? Because there was that's in general, I think it's the famous Tshuvas HaRadvaz, that nothing to do with this. The case was when someone was stuck in jail, and the warden was going to give him a pardon to leave for one day. And the Shaila to the Radvaz was, should he take the first possible day, even though, let's say, the first possible Shabbos, or should he wait 2-3 weeks for Rosh Hashanah and he can hear shofar? So I guess it's a discussion. So the Ravaz writes, we don't choose which is the more important mitzvah, and therefore your first opportunity you go out and take it. Others say, it's true you don't choose when you don't know, but if one's clearly biblical and one's clearly rabbinical, then it's okay to choose. So either way, that's a discussion what you do in general. But here, the Magen Avraham is obviously arguing with the Trumas HaDeshen, and he's arguing with the Mishnah Berurah. He says one can fulfill the mitzvah of Parashas Zachar reading Parashas B'Shalach. So what's the issue at hand? What's in the Kudas HaMachlokes between the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, whether one can fulfill the mitzvah of Parashas Zachar with the reading Purim morning? So it seems to be as follows. And Rav Soloveitchik says this as well, others. The Magen Avraham clearly learned that Zachar, the mitzvah of remembering Amalek, and the mitzvah of destroying Amalek are two independent mitzvahs. They have nothing to do with another. The mitzvah of Zechira isn't connected to Mechiyah. So he said it's true, it's not explicit in the Mechiyah Amalek and B'Shalach, but it doesn't have to be. I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Parashat Zachar. Apparently he holds Zachar as an independent mitzvah, and it's enough that I'm mentioning Amalek, that's enough. The Mishnah Berurah and the Trumas HaDeshen clearly held no. That Zechira is mitam Mechiyah. That Zechira is connected to the mitzvah of destroying. And therefore he points out that if you can't fulfill your mitzvah of Zechira unless there's an element of Mechiyah. So therefore, that's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. Your mitzvah of Zechira is lacking because you don't have any mention of Mechiyah. So that seems to be the Nakuda, that Zechira is connected to the Mechiyah. Right. In fact, so that's the Machlokas. So therefore he says it's a no-go and you have to hear Parashat Zachar again. Or you're not Yotze with the Vishal. You have to hear Parashat Kiseitze. So what about a woman? So number one, it's a question. Some say the Sefer HaChinuch writes that a woman is exempt from Parashat Zachar completely. In other words, the first question is a woman obligated in hearing Parashat Zachar? So actually there aren't that many Rishonim who discuss it, but the Rishonim say no, she's exempt. It's the later Achronim who say the woman should be machmer. I think the Chazon Ish was even, he said, the Rishonim say you're exempt, the Achronim say you could be lenient, he tells the woman. So it's a shaila in general whether women are obligated in Parashat Zachar. So let's assume they are. Let's take the side that they are. So what about a woman fulfilling her mitzvah Parashat Zachar Purim morning? So according to the Magen Avraham, there's nothing to talk about. If a man can fulfill his mitzvah, then certainly a woman can. Like, why should a woman be any different? But the question is, according to the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Trumas HaDeshen, would they say man no, woman yes? So perhaps we could argue, even the Mishnah Berurah would say, when it comes to a woman, she would fulfill him. Why? Why is a woman different? Because it goes as follows. Because, mamanishach, either way, as they say. In other words, if Zechiras Amalek is an independent mitzvah, not connected to Mechiyah, so they're exempt. It's a mitzvah aseh shazman grama. It's a time-oriented mitzvah, and they're exempt. And if you're telling me the mitzvah of Zechira is connected to Mechiyah, we all know, Nashim lav b'nei melchama nina, women are exempt from fighting wars. It's the darko of Ish. That's why the man's chayv pruah revuah v'kifshuha. You should both be fruitful and you should conquer the land. And the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, it's darko shel Ish. It's the way of man to fight wars. And that's why women are exempt from melchama. In the Chassidish of Svarim, that's what they say, why they want to explain why women are exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Of course, in certain parts of Torah, women are obligated. But in the pure, unadulterated mitzvah of Talmud Torah, why are women exempt? So they say, Derek Drush, homiletically, because what's the... You know, you go into... There's a big difference between a library and a Beis HaMedrash. A library, everyone's shh, quiet. In a Beis HaMedrash, everyone's screaming at each other, learning loud, you're going at it with your chavrusa back and forth. It's the melchamta shel Torah. It's the war of Torah. And the women are exempt from melchama, so therefore they're exempt from Talmud Torah. So either way, that's what they point out here, that everyone should agree that a woman could fulfill her mitzvah if she doesn't go to shul, Shabbos, Parsha Zohar, she can't make it. Even the Mishnah Berurah says it doesn't work for a man, but for a woman, it should work, because either way, if it's independent mitzvah, then it's good. What's the only kind of why it wasn't good? There's not enough of a destruction involved. Mm-hmm. But if a woman, if it's independent mitzvah, it doesn't have to be. If it's connected, women are exempt anyway. So therefore, the poskim ameko, again, to those who say women don't have to hear parashat zachar anyway, so probably ikar adin, they're exempt. And even if you want to be machmir, then you could certainly... You know, for a man, obviously, it's best if he doesn't have to rely on the Magen Avraham, and therefore he should, you know, try to hear Parashat Zohar some other way. But certainly, a woman can, because it's not clear that the Mishnah, you know, that everyone should agree in the case of a woman that she'd be exempt. The Binyan Shlomo, I believe, has an interesting question. What about a Kohen? What about a priest? What about a Kohen? Like, why is the Kohen different than a Levi and a Yisrael? So he wants to suggest that since Kohanim, they can't be Metame Lameis, they can't come in contact with the dead, and he wants to claim they're exempt from Mohammed, which is a point of contention, but he claims the Lav B'nai Mohammed. So he said, if you assume that a Kohen is a Lav B'nai Mohammed, so and you assume that Zechir is connected to Mechiyah, so then a Kohen also would be exempt. So therefore, he has a Chumrah that they should hear. There's a Chumrah that a Kohen should not be the Baal Koreh. That, of course, he agrees a Kohen should hear it, but he says, you shouldn't have a Kohen Baal Koreh because maybe it's a doubt, maybe I'm exempt. If I'm exempt, I can't be doing the mitzvah for you. Mm-hmm. You know, many disagree with, we don't necessarily accept this halacha. Many disagree and say a Kohen is chayiv, and therefore, you know, even if you have a Kohen Baal Koreh, it's still good, but that's the chumrah of the Binyan Shlomo. I think it's Rav Shlomo Mivilna, very interesting anyway, that the Kohen is also exempt mital mocham, and therefore he shouldn't be reading Parsha Zohar because he might be.
Those people pass on that Kohenim are not exempt from wars.
Right. People.
So if you follow that logic, then they're not exempt.
Right. Therefore, that's, so you know, pashtus, and therefore they should be chayev. Right. And that's why they point out, because we find, you know, that's the whole discussion. But we find Kohenim, you know, in wars, maybe different jobs they do, but etc. And in fact, I was this thing. No one says this, but if you assume, I haven't seen anyone say this, but if you're assuming if Zechira, according to that opinion, Zechira is dependent on Mechiyah, and I didn't get into it, but let's say, if you assume there's no mitzvah of Mechiyah somehow, like I didn't discuss if it is, then maybe there's no mitzvah of Zechira today. That's just a logical conclusion. No one says it, halacha. I haven't heard anyone say, you know, that you don't have to, Parashat Zohar doesn't apply today, but Al Pi Svarah could come up with a logic.
Yeah.
To say why you're exempt. But either way, that's what they point out. So in terms of the mitzvah of Zechira, whether it's connected to Mechia, that's so. What about the mitzvah of Mechia Samalek? So, there's a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam writes that he discusses the mitzvah of destroying the Zayin Amamim. There's a mitzvah when we go into Eretz Yisrael, you throw the seven nations out in order that they shouldn't lead us to Avodah Zarah. However, the Rambam writes, Kvar Avad Zichra, we no longer know who they are anymore, because since Sancheirav, Melech Ashur, came around and did ethnic cleansing, he went ahead and he separated, split up everyone so there should be, he should be able to control the whole world. So we don't know who are from Zayin Amim anymore. Hence the mitzvah of destroying, of killing Zion doesn't apply today because we don't know who they are. Okay, that's fine. That makes a lot of sense. Then in the next halacha right afterwards, you can't say he forgot what he wrote here. Not that you could ever say it, but you certainly can't even have a havamina to think that. The next one he writes and talks about the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. And he writes, the whole thing, then you expect at the end of him to say, but Bizman Azad, there is no mitzvah because we don't know who they are. The Rambam does not write that. It's clear from the Rambam assumes that the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek applies today. That seems to be the implication. He's talking about both the mitzvah of destroying the Zayin Amamim and the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. When it comes to the Zayin Amamim, he invokes Sancheirav, Bilbas, Olah, we don't know who they are. But he doesn't say anything by Amalek. So Minchas Chinuch, what's going on here? And in fact, some claim, we don't have a mitzvah today of destroying Amalek because we don't know who they are. But that clearly you can't say that in the Rambam, or maybe you can, but it's not the simple, you have to explain the Rambam. You know, different ways of wording the Rambam. If you learn the Rambam differently, there are ways of wording the Rambam differently, but the way Rav Chaim and others learn the Rambam is no. That the mitzvah of Amalek still applies today. So the question is, if you assume it does, so why? What's the pshah? What's the difference? So there's a famous Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. They say al pi hashmua. They say in the yeshivas, it's well known as follows. That it's true. There's two types of an Amaleki. There's the pure, unadulterated Amalek. If you speak to him, he takes out his family tree, and you trace it down. And it's, you know, his mother, father, he came from Amalek. That's one type of Amalek. You're born into the family. And then there's a second. So that type of Amalek we don't have today. Sancheirav, Bilbul, Asa'olam. Sancheirav mixed up the world. Even though they say the Vilna Gaon used to go out in the street, he used to walk with his head down. He was afraid that he would see an Amalek and have to kill them. So whatever the pshat is, assuming the story is true or not. But to that type of Amalek we don't have, the pure, unadulterated one. But there's another type of din of Amalek, someone who has the theology, the philosophy of Amalek. Someone who wants to destroy Israel, destroy the Jewish people. And they're always saying, we have to kill the Jews, kill Israel, etc. Someone who has the theology of Amalek, that's also a din. It doesn't have the same halachas, perhaps, of destroying the livestock, destroying other things. Like there's a halacha by Amalek, you destroy everything. Timcha, you blot out the memory, you kill everyone. But by the second halacha, perhaps doesn't have all the same gedarim, doesn't have the same words, and therefore that's why Rambam leaves it out, because Amalek, unfortunately, we don't have to look too far, is alive and well today, and that mitzvah still applies. Anyone who has in the charter to destroy the Jewish people, they clearly have so certain people, Osama bin Laden, the wacko from Iran, or some people are clear who fits in. Some people we could discuss whether they reached that stage or not, since it's hard to know, because we don't have any straight gedarim about, what's considered. He doesn't give us any details what's considered Amalek or not. But he points out, the philosophy of anyone who wants to destroy the Jewish people, that has the status of Amalek, and that clearly still applies today, and therefore we have a mitzvah to destroy them.
Can there be a Jewish people then that have the theology or the philosophy of Amalek?
That'd be an interesting question. We know the worst anti-Semites sometimes are Jewish anti-Semites. So you're right. So it's interesting, you know, and if that Pisvara, if the whole if you work with the Amalek, if you work from Amalek, that it's from the genes, and obviously not. Mm-hmm. Well, however, yeah, based on what we're saying now, you're right. In theory, I mean, if a Jew goes around trying to get, you know, destroying the Jews, then, you know, then that kind of, a little ironic, but it has, but, you know, one could argue, you know, it could have a status, you know, be interesting, a Jew having the status of a Maliki, but I guess, unfortunately, today, you have the self-hating, you have the guy who comes around denying the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. What's his name?
Finkelstein.
Yeah, but I don't know if he says he wants the Jews destroyed or not.
No, but there are people that say that.
That he says that, you mean?
Yeah, he didn't say that.
But he wants himself killed. You mean he has to consider himself Jewish, maybe? Or, mm-hmm. I'm saying, yeah, so you, exactly. You know, just denying the Holocaust is one thing. That doesn't necessarily make you someone from Amalek if you deny the Holocaust. Obviously, it's bad and you're a fool and a lot of other things. But I'm just saying is, but it doesn't necessarily give you the din of Amalek if you do. But you're right. But that'll be interesting.
It's possible.
So. Yeah. And that's, you know, in terms of that. And then there's another question we'll have to go into another time is, can we accept a convert from Amalek? In fact, there was an interesting, I'm not going to give you the answer, I'll just leave it with a question. There was a case, it was in one of these svarim, where Rav Yashav was one of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. His son-in-law, Rav Zilberstein, he writes many interesting questions come to his hand. So apparently his question came, I guess, a couple of years ago, maybe many years ago. Someone came from Germany and he wanted to convert. So one of the people in the basin said, no, Germany has a din of Amalek and we can't accept converts from Amalek. So the question is that true, number one? Is Germany considered Amalek? That's question number one. And secondly, even if it is, is that true? Is that true? I'm not saying it is true. Mm-hmm. And that's, so maybe, you know, that'd be an interesting topic for another time.